The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. The book of Romans was written from Corinth during the end of the Apostle Paul's third missionary journey. And from that, we learn that Paul knew the Roman Christians. He knew something about them. And he expressed the conviction that he had in his heart in the first chapter of Romans to take the great gospel to those people in Rome. And he said that he longed to be with them. And in fact, he saw himself to be a debtor to all men. And in writing the Corinthians, he said, woe to me if I preach not the gospel. He felt an obligation then to carry the gospel to everyone that he possibly could. It is an amazing thing when I think about it that God calls on and uses us as weak and fallible people to be the one through whom his gospel is proclaimed and preached. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power may be of God, not of ourselves. And it's such an awesome, great thought that God entrusts to men the responsibility to preach his gospel. And our prayer, my prayer, is whenever I preach God's word, Lord, let nothing come out of my mouth but what is in accordance with your will, that I may not misrepresent your word, anything you have said, but only try to help people understand what you would have them to do. And when we read here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, this statement that he makes, I am not ashamed of the gospel, it seems a little strange when we read that, because he has just got through saying that he is ready to preach the gospel to them who are in Rome. And then he turns around and he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. Why would he say that? What would cause the Apostle Paul to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel? Well, I would suggest this morning that there are some very good reasons. Four reasons I want to give you why, from a fleshly human perspective, he might be caused to be ashamed of the gospel. And as we think about that and his desire to take the gospel and go to this great city of Rome, which was the center of the universe, the center of civilization at that time, I would say that the first reason that Paul could say or might be thinking that he needed to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, is because of the moral condition of his time, and especially of the city of Rome, which was the center of the civil and the pagan power of the Roman Empire, and it was known for its corruption. It was known for the filthy lifestyles of the people. The Emperor Nero was a very wicked, degenerate man himself, and the city of Rome was a cesspool of sin. Wicked people living in sin. And many of those people were slaves who were often mistreated. So the gospel that Paul preached demanded that people would repent of their sin and live a holy, a godly life. So it was opposed to everything that Rome stood for. And when we think about our civilization today, we have seen in one generation our society turn in ways that we would never have imagined. If we were to go back just one generation before today. And think about the things that are happening in our society today. And how that people today are debating the very definition of marriage. And arguing that those of the same sex would be fine, in fact might be even better than marriage the way that God established it. And for those who would stand up and speak against such things, they are now labeled the bad people in our society. And it is in times like these, times like we are living in today, that it would be very easy for someone to become ashamed of the gospel, ashamed to speak the truth, and speak out against the sin that is occurring all around us. So it's easy for us to get caught up in the culture that we live in here today, because it has a very subtle effect upon us to change our basic thinking, to cave in to the pressure of society around us. And so I would caution each of us today who are here, every one of us that is here today, watch yourself. Do not allow yourself to get caught up in the thinking of the world that is pressing in on us from all sides. We need to ask ourselves the question, have I become ashamed of the gospel, the message of Christ, in the midst of this day and age in which we are living today? The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Another reason, though, that he might easily have been led to think that and say, I'm not ashamed, is because of the fact that he was a Jew. And Jews were not looked upon with favor in that society any more than they are oftentimes not looked upon with favor today or at any time in history. We can't help but think that one of the reasons for that is how they turned away from God so many times throughout the history of the nation of Israel. And it's not to justify the mistreatment of the Jewish people in any way, but the fact of the matter is many people have a bad image of the Jewish people, and Paul was a Jew. So he could easily have been like many other Jews in his day, even if they became Christians. Oftentimes they would have no interest in going out and sharing the message of Christ with the Gentiles because they had the concept that they were still God's people, His chosen people. And for them to share the message of Christ with a Gentile was below their dignity and who they saw themselves as being. So maybe it might be true that someone could be ashamed of the gospel of Christ to be taken to anybody except maybe for the Jews. Because there were plenty of non-Jews living in the city of Rome who did not want to listen to a Jew proclaiming a Jewish Messiah. It was a message that would not be well received in many parts of the Roman Empire of the first century. But not only that, another reason that the apostle could be ashamed was the message he preached was so unbelievable. It was so incredible. Because he claimed that his Savior, the world's Savior, was a male member of the Jewish religion. And not only that, he said that he was the Son of God, not just a son of man, both God and man at the same time. He claimed that his death on a Roman cross was the method by which God was going to bring salvation to the whole world. The very idea of that was shameful. And it was debauched. There was something wrong with that message to begin with in the eyes, in the mind, in the thinking of the people of the first century. That cannot be right. That God is going to save the world by a Jew who died on a Roman cross. But he also claimed that he died for all lost people. And that this one person, this one man, this one Jewish individual who had hardly traveled anywhere outside of the own small country of Israel. He never established anything of great significance by human standards. He preached in mostly smaller villages, towns and villages in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, which was, to begin with, a hated place in the eyes of the Romans. Because if anyone from the Roman government was ever assigned to go to Judea, to this country of the Israel, of the Jews, it was a sentence of death. No one wanted to go there. Some of the most cantankerous, hard to get along people of anywhere in the Roman Empire were the Jews. They had constantly had problems dealing with them in their uprisings. Then not only this, but he claimed that this person, this Jesus, after he had been crucified and horribly treated on the cross, that on the third day he rose from the dead, and that he is alive now and had been seen by many witnesses after his death. In fact, if we remember and recall that he, in writing to the Corinthians, in the first chapter of Corinthians, he said it in these ways. He said, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." This word that he uses, a stumbling block here, is a Greek word, scandalon, which means it was a scandal. The very message of the gospel of the cross of Christ was a scandal, a stumbling block in the mind of the Jews. And to the Greeks, it was foolishness. So, if you were to walk into that society, that intellectual society of the first century, and preach a message like that, how would you be received? How would you expect to be received? Don't you think that you might be a little bit ashamed to preach a message like that under those conditions? It's about the same as sitting in a university class with a professor today who is this intellectual person, right? And he's a philosophy professor. And the idea that you would say in that class that, well, you need to be saved from your sins by a Savior who died 2,000 years ago for you. The response would be, what kind of an idiot are you to believe something like that? You know, the intellectual world has never received the message of Jesus Christ. And so the same question is one that we need to answer and make that as a personal inventory this morning. Will we be ashamed of this message? Could we be ashamed? Young people sitting in a college class at the feet of scoffers who make fun of the message of the Bible. They are so intelligent, they are so well spoken, they are so high in their fields, they have so many degrees. You can't challenge them with your weak knowledge. You cannot stand up in a class today and say you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God raised Him from the dead. So we need to not get sucked into the pressure of our society today and we become ashamed of our Savior. Because the truth of Jesus No matter what the world says, no matter how many rejected in the world, the truth is that the message of Jesus Christ dying and rising from the dead has rung down through the centuries while all of these intellectuals have come and gone. And the message of Christ still stands today. The question is, will you be ashamed of the gospel? Will I be ashamed of the gospel when push comes to shove in our society today? The fourth reason, though, that the Apostle Paul might be ashamed of the gospel, to speak the gospel, was because of all the abuse he suffered himself for preaching that very message. Everywhere he went, he was beaten up, he was arrested, he was kicked out of town for preaching the message of Christ. In the city of Lystra, in Acts the 14th chapter, the people, when he performed a miracle, they began to worship him. And Paul and Barnabas, they said, no, don't worship us. We're only men. And so what did they do then? They took him outside of town and they stoned him and left him for dead. Then two chapters later, in the 16th chapter, he was arrested in the city of Philippi for doing nothing wrong but casting a demon out of a young woman. And then when he went to Thessalonica in the 17th chapter, they ran him out of town because there was so much trouble created in response to his going into the synagogue for 3 weeks to preach the message of Christ. Then he went down to Athens, and the intellectuals of that city scoffed at him, the idea of when he talked about the resurrection. Oh, right, sure. But Paul had every reason to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel, in spite of all that he stood up against that influence of the culture of his day. He was still willing to say, I am eager to come to Rome to give you the message of the gospel. I can hardly wait to get there. That was his attitude. He didn't care who didn't like it. He didn't care. He just went and preached to whoever would listen. He went right into those intellectual circles. And at the same time, he was willing to go and preach to the poor people. Same message of Jesus Christ. In fact, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, he said, when speaking about his life there, he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted a loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. And I like what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, where he says there, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. 2 Corinthians is a pretty negative book when you read the things that Paul writes about there, because there were a lot of bad people. There were a lot of bad things people were doing to him and saying about him behind his back. And these were his own brethren. But he said, I will gladly spend and be spent, even if you misuse me. He becomes a little sarcastic there. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. But there is nothing more exhilarating, more exalting, more uplifting, more heavenly-like than a child of God who has come to understand, as Paul did, the greatness of the message of the gospel, and to have the conviction, I am not ashamed of my Lord In fact, I will stand up for him even to the point of death. So there were four excellent reasons, at least, that the Apostle Paul might have been ashamed. And there are some good reasons for us that we could easily become ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but we need to be like him and be of the conviction, the complete commitment that he had, that I am not ashamed of the gospel. Brethren, our culture is affecting us today. This is what I'm trying to say to you this morning. Our culture is affecting us, and we are letting it affect us. I am begging you, each one, to take an inventory of your own convictions and ask yourself, are you willing to stand with the Apostle Paul in our ungodly culture today and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Because that takes courage and it takes conviction to make that kind of declaration. Now, there are some excellent reasons why we do not need to be ashamed. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why would any of us ever be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? The Apostle Paul gives us the excellent reasons here. He says in Romans 1 and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It is God's power, the gospel is. It is the most magnificent expression of the power of God in all of history. The Apostle Paul expresses it in the 5th chapter of Romans in verses 6 through 8 in one of the most beautiful passages. He says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God is sovereign in heaven. He is the ruler of the universe. He is the creator. He could have done whatever he wanted to in response to human sin. And keep in mind, the Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God could have expressed his dissatisfaction with us in any way he wanted to and still been righteous. But what did he do? Well, we were sinners, not very nice people. What greater expression of his power was there than to do what he did, to send his own son down to this earth to die on the cross? And does he force us to become his children? No, he does not force us. Instead, he places this most amazing sacrifice before us and says, come be one of mine. I love you. This is how much I love you. Come be one of my children in a gentle, pleading way. In Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse 31 and 32, Paul said, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In fact, the Apostle Paul, in speaking of his own previous life, frequently said, I was the chief of sinners. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 through 16, he says, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which were in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It is God's power. But its primary purpose is salvation. It has that one special purpose, to save us, to deliver us, to rescue us, to preserve us from harm and danger. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 through 12, in recounting the condition of the human race, he says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." God came down to save us and rescue us and redeem us out of that world of condition of sin that we were all in. His purpose is salvation, and it reveals how we can be made righteous before God. We who have been sinners. How we can be made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What a wonderful gospel. What a wonderful purpose that it has to save us from sin. And fourthly, it is for everybody. The gospel is universal. It is not just for the Jew. It is for the Gentile. It is for all people. And in the book of Galatians, in the third chapter of Galatians, in verse 26, Paul said, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he said, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In the book of John, he says in the 14th chapter that God's desire is to come and make His dwelling with us, with each one of us. He says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." He says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This message is a universal message for everyone, that God wants us to be saved. How could we ever be ashamed of a message like that? But we need to take a personal inventory this morning, each one of us, because Jesus Himself calls us to not be ashamed of Him. Even His own disciples, He warned them not to be ashamed of His words. In the 8th chapter of Mark, Jesus was talking with His disciples. And as they departed and passed through Galilee, He taught them and He said, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day." But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among themselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they disputed who would be the greatest. And he sat down and said, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child. I think I'm in the wrong chapter here. Let's go back to the 8th chapter. I was in chapter 9. Jesus speaking about this, telling them that he was going to be crucified and rejected. Peter's response was, he said, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he turned around, he said, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And then he said to his disciples, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Jesus warns us not to be ashamed of him or his words. And Peter thought he would never do that. In fact, Peter solemnly affirmed, he said, "Lord, I will never deny you. I will follow you even to death." But later that night, as he was sitting by the fire, he did that very thing. He denied Jesus three times, and he said, "I don't even know the man." And he cursed and he swore when he said that. And then the rooster crowed, and he went out and wept bitterly, realized that he had denied his Lord and Savior. So don't think it can't happen to you. I've been there, and I think most of you have been there in this situation where you have not spoken up what you needed to say at that time. We've all been there. We live in a society today that is filled up and overflowing with that which is contrary to the will of God. Sinful lives around us on every hand. Peter said himself later on, as he was writing in the letter of 1 Peter, much later in his life, of course, but he said, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." Pretty well describes the society that we're living in today. And many of us as Christians, we can sit there and we can say, "You know, I'm not drinking. I'm not engaging in those drunken parties where people run around with hardly anything on. But, you know what? I'll watch that program on TV for 15 or 20 minutes where they're doing those things, but it's not going to affect me. I won't be affected by it. I'm strong. I can handle it." Now, I'll tell you what's going on. Satan is softening you up. The more you let him in your brain and you let those images in your mind, he's going to use those to cause you to drift further and further away from where you need to be in your relationship with God. The Apostle Peter said, "I will never deny him," and yet he did deny him before that night was over. He went out though, and he was crying and weeping bitterly. He was ashamed that he had been ashamed of his Lord. Then Peter, to his credit, day of Pentecost came, coming of the Holy Spirit. Peter was a changed man following the resurrection. He saw the resurrection of Christ and he spent time with Jesus. And in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, Peter and John were arrested by the Sanhedrin Council and they were threatened not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they said, "By what name, by what authority have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That is very exclusive. And our society does not like that. And so the Apostle Peter failed Jesus, but then he came back. And he got back where he needed to be with the Lord. And he was reminded of the power of the message of the gospel and his resurrection from the dead. And it completely changed him into a man that was fearless to stand up in front of anybody. And that didn't mean that, though, that he never made a mistake again, because he did make some more mistakes. But as far as we know, he corrected them. And he came back to his Lord, and he stood faithfully until the end of his life. In fact, he says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14 through 16, as he writes about the times that they were living in, he says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. That's the kind of courage we all need to have today. I'm asking you the question this morning. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Have you allowed the world to come in and put that pressure on you that is causing you to fail to have the courage and the conviction to say, I am going to stand with Jesus, my Savior, and I will not be ashamed of Him or His Word or His gospel. Because it is the power of God unto salvation. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song that's been selected this morning. Thank you for your kind attention to the lesson today. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. If you are subject to it this morning in any way, will you please come while we stand and sing?